Hey, Steph.
Yeah?
Do you love RV shows as much as I love RV shows?
That would be impossible.
Oh, really? Because I love them so much.
You do. You love them to the moon and back.
We went to one last week, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
The Edison RV show. And something exciting kind of happened.
What do you mean that we went by ourselves?
Yeah, we kind of like left the kids at home with a babysitter.
Yeah. Clarification.
Compared to the RV show before that, where we brought the boys.
Right, we've brought them to every RV show that we've been to.
It was really nice going without them.
Oh, hot date.
It was a really hot date going to the RV show.
It was,
And actually, we have some kind of exciting news about an RV show.
Yeah, I'm going to spill the beans,
Well, why don't you spill the beans?
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to be presenting at RV shows.
We are going to be presenting at the Atlantic City RV show.
Yes.
In February.
I don't know if we could sound more dorky, but...
Oh, I don't care. I'm embracing.
It's pretty exciting.
I'm embracing the dorkiness in this one. We're going to be doing some seminars at GS Media and Events at their Atlantic City RV show.
Yeah.
That's a sister company to Good Sam. And we are pumped up and excited to be doing these seminars.
Yeah, we don't get to hide behind the microphone, behind the podcast.
No second take.
Be there. No,
It's live.
Like, if we get into an argument.
Oh my gosh, don't say that. We never argue before
we
the podcast.
Cut the tape.
Now, once we get the seminar schedule, we will share it with you good people out there. And we would love, love to meet you.
Right. So we would love it if you live within, I don't know, like a four to eight hour
radius of the Atlantic City RV show.
Jump in the car, load all the kids up. The more the merrier.
And when you show up at the door and buy your ticket, say that you're there to see Jeremy and Stephanie.
Right. And then say, oh yeah, and then we're going to buy an RV after we listen to them
talk about
how amazing RVs are.
I personally think that if you can get fourth graders good and excited about writing workshop.
I can
get a crowd good and excited about buying an RV.
We'll see, won't we?
And
I believe in us.
And I feel that if I can get 14-year-olds excited about Shakespeare, I can get adults excited about buying RVs.
You get 14-year-olds excited about Shakespeare? Is that documented?
At least that's what they tell me.
Okay. All right. At least one high grades. But...
So look, that's one set of big news.
Yes.
We have more big news. Mm-hmm. We are having a new logo made.
Right. Well,
it's
about time.
Well, and it's like, okay, that's exciting. But what's really exciting about it is the artist we are working with.
Yeah. This is like mind-blowing to us. And
to
again,
us.
I mean, it's our little world of this stuff that we just love. But let's back up here. We just had a logo done sort of on the fly for our live little campers.
About a year ago.
Yeah.
And we used 99 Designs, which worked really nicely.
And we were very happy. We just needed something. We needed it affordably and relatively quickly because we were
99 Designs is not paying for this, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. Not sponsored.
But we're stepping it up to the big time.
So, well, what happened was, can we give a little backstory?
Right.
So we've talked a lot about the Creative Action Network, which we love.
Love, love, love.
Right. And we actually gave away some prints on this show.
Thanks, Max.
For the holiday season. Right. Max at Creative Action Network worked with us. He was
because we love their See America series of posters. We adore this series of posters.
And we've explained that the reason why we love this project is that it really does harken back to that beautiful sort of idea of the American
the
road
glory
trip.
And romance of the American road trip circa 1950s,
it's
1960s.
It's like all Jack Kerouac'd out, right? Like, it's just like, this is the most romantic
and our favorite artist in the See America series is Matt Brass.
He is. He is our favorite.
Both of our favorites.
So.
And Matt Brass is working on our logo right now. And we are pumped.
He's somewhere down south right now doing a logo for us. We talked to him on the phone the other
night. I told Stephanie after that conversation, for me, I would not have been more excited if I was talking to Bono.
Which is so funny.
Like, I was geeked out.
But that's the thing. For me, like, talking to Bono, I was like, I don't need to talk to Bono. I'll put on his
music. No, but we need to talk to Matt Brass because
we
need a logo.
Because when we look at these posters, we're like, oh, that's
so
just
check
captured.
Out his series of Neo-Naturalist, the Neo-Naturalist Ranger series.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
If you go to, it's neonat.
Squarespace.com. Yeah. And, of course, he's also in the See America shop.
But if you type in neo-naturalist ranger series like Matt Brass into Google, it'll take you right there too.
And he has so many posters on the national parks. It's like he's covered so many of the major national parks in the series.
Either. We're just big fans.
No, this is not sponsored. Okay.
So anyway,
in fact, we turned down a few sponsors that wanted this opening 5 minutes so that we could talk about Matt Brass.
No, we have to talk about.
So if you've been to Great Smoky Mountains National Park, if you've been to Badlands, if you've been to Arches, you want to go check out his posters, his t-shirts, his stickers, and you want to buy yourself one because they're beautiful.
Right. Yeah. And then, hey, if you want a logo.
If you want a logo. Well, no, don't call him now. He's busy.
He's busy.
Don't call him now.
He's very busy working on our logo. So we get first look next week.
First look. So we're pumped. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In our last little bit of news, we're definitely settling in on a Great Smoky Mountains National Park trip this summer. So we'll have more details about that. It's going to be our big trip
but
for the summer.
It's pretty much
and guess what?
Stone.
After we go, I'm buying a Matt Brass poster.
Right, we already have our poster.
Because he has an awesome poster. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to drive to these national parks
just so
I can buy the posters and then turn around and come home.
We have secretly, I think both of us wish that we had artistic talent.
Oh, big time.
And we have none. So we then look at somebody with artistic talent like him and we're like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, you're a celebrity.
Adore you.
So, yeah. All right. So we are.
So enough of the blah, blah, blah.
No, because we want people to tell us.
Oh, if you have some recommendations on Great Smoky Mountains, you know, we plan in advance. Yeah. We like to think things through. Drop us a note. Let us know. We'll be back in a second with episode, is it 19?
It is 19.
Of RV Family Travel Atlas.
Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
On this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about RV design. Turns out, it's usually the little things that matter. So we have a list of 10 trending features and some strong opinions about each one.
We are also going to share our blogger crush of the week. Just5moreminutes.com has us yearning to head out to the Pacific Northwest and cook some amazing food over a campfire.
And our campground review of the week, Branches of Niagara in Grand Island, New York, is only 10 minutes away from Niagara Falls State Park. We were blown away by the fun activities and friendly staff. If Niagara Falls is on your traveling bucket list, this campground should be as well.
All of this and so much more on episode 19 of RV Family Travel Atlas, RV Design, What's Hot and What's Not.
So before we head into this week's featured segment on RV design, we wanted to take a look at the mailbag and talk about some conversations.
Yeah, we kind of had another fun week interacting with listeners, and this is one of my favorite stories yet. So I was doodling around on Instagram as I sometimes do, because that's my favorite social media channel, and I saw a picture of somebody looking very excited with the new Jayco travel trailer. Mm-hmm. So I just dropped them a comment and said, oh, you know, I hope you love your Jayco. We love ours too. I said, you know, we blogged for the company last summer. Check out our blog posts and take a listen to our podcast. So then surprise, surprise, I got a comment back saying, honestly, we are obsessed, meaning with your podcast. You were our inspiration. We literally listen to your podcasts on all of our road trips. Big fans. Thanks for all the helpful tips and inspiration. So that was from Jessica. And then her husband dropped us a note right after that on Instagram. I will mirror what Jessica said. Listening to your podcast helped push us over the edge into an RV. We were totally in the pop-up camp till we started listening to you guys. So glad we went with a travel trailer. So that was so cool. I mean, it's a small world after all.
It was cool, and it was also.
This is not somebody I was following. This is. I don't think they were following us on Instagram.
No, this was a total chance. Like, you just made a comment.
I just dropped a comment. Saw a photo of somebody looking real happy with the new travel trailer.
So, okay. On the one hand, you say, oh, the comment's cool. But on the other hand, for us, we're like, what? You wait, back up. I read that comment. I was like, wait, you listened to our advice and then you
made a serious financial decision. Not just a choice. It's not like you're like, oh, let's go to this movie because they said it.
No, right.
They bought a travel trailer instead of a pop-up camper.
Yeah, that was a little like hard for me to wrap
now, let me back up. So we have done two shows, mm-hmm. and we look at this as an ongoing series.
Yes.
We did a show, it was the pros and cons of a pop-up camper. And we did a show that was the pros and cons of a travel trailer, mm-hmm. which has been one of the most popular podcasts we've done.
Right.
And then we want to do Fifth Whale, Class C, and work mm-hmm. our way through them.
Yeah. But we'll just be drawing in from other people.
Right. These first two are very much personal.
Right. And that's the thing is that – and we share it from that perspective. We really do try to communicate why we came to those decisions. Not saying that those are decisions for everybody, but just like, okay, this was our experience.
We're not big on like these are the universal laws for everybody, but this is what worked for us.
Yeah, and what we think about after the fact can help somebody who wouldn't even think to question.
Yeah, and we do. I mean, as one of our personal rules, we do tend to recommend going to a hybrid or travel trailer and skipping the pop-up. Mm-hmm. Now, you asked them to send us an email and explain a little more.
Well, because far be it from me to just leave a compliment like that.
Oh, you got to milk
it. Wave in the wind, right? So I was like, wait a minute. Could you explain more how we helped you? I was really curious. I was like, well, what did we say that led you in that direction? Like, I want to know like what it was. So they actually sent us then a really nice email, which was funny, first of all, because he said he was going to Tarantino the email.
He was going to Tarantino the email by starting with the ending.
Yeah. And he did. He started with a little story about his wife, Jessica, packing up, I guess, after they had brought home the brand new Jayco. And she was folding the clothes and, like, packing them away. And all of a sudden, she stopped.
And she had an epiphany. I think they used the word mm-hmm. epiphany.
And I don't know. But she said, no, he just said she paused and looked up and said, like, wait. I can just hang these up in the camera.
Which I kind of remember us having that epiphany too. Like I remember one time putting clothes in a mm-hmm. bag and then going, well, I don't have to do this.
Well, it took me a while. And I've said that before in our episodes. I've said that it was little bits and pieces of things over the course of time that I realized, wait a minute, I'm acting like I'm tent camping still, or I'm acting like I'm pop-up camping still. And I would have to make changes and tweak things and realize this is a lot easier than I'm making it now. So that was funny that he said that at the very beginning. But he said that it was a culmination of a crazy 2-year process of us going back and forth on getting an RV. And then,
which that also, so many people, and we did it too. It can take a year to 2 years to 3 years to pull the trigger on these RV decisions.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if like there's any market research out there on this. I would not be surprised if the average was 2 years. Because I think for some
people,
there's
a couple,
it's like five.
And there's a couple reasons for that. It's a big financial decision for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that maybe there's a lack of great information out there to guide people.
And too much.
And like too much.
From the different companies. I feel like you go to the company, we've talked about this before, a million floor
plan.
So
that's where RV Family Travel Atlas comes in.
So here we are. So anyway, they said, we can honestly say your podcast was the final catalyst for choosing travel trailer. After listening to the episode, Pros and Cons of a Travel Trailer, we pretty much knew that that was the answer. The biggest factor was hearing a few anecdotes about how stress-free planning and packing for camping was now that you had a travel trailer. This is what I love that he said. He said, my idea to get a pop-up camper from the beginning was I was absolutely convinced this was the best way to dip our toes into RV life. That was exactly what
exactly.
we thought.
Yeah.
So much of what he said.
But you have to start with a pop-up camper.
He said, I really wanted to maintain that camping feeling. That was exactly what
right.
I said. Like I was like, I want to feel like I'm camping. So then he said, later on, anyone who says you aren't camping in a travel trailer is missing the point. Now, let me pause there. For some people, that might be the point, but he's spot on with how we felt. We were like, wait a minute.
No, we want to travel.
We want to travel.
As much as we can.
And we want to travel in a certain way that gives us freedom from airports and hotels and all that kind of stuff. So we had an idea of where we wanted to stay and where we wanted to go and how we wanted to get there.
And we wanted less work and more fun.
Yes. And so for us, right, that camping feeling was missing the point.
And with little kids, there's enough work already. And then you throw the pop-up mm-hmm. camper in and it's more work on top of work.
So I think that for people out there that are looking at things the same way as we are, and it sounds like, you know, they saw things through our eyes when we were saying that, that advice does really ring true. Now, however, if you're listening to what we say and come to the conclusion that it matters to you to feel more connected, yeah, and
we
with
would,
the outdoors,
we would love if we know we good. Have listeners out there in pop-up campers, mm-hmm. right? And I look back longingly, nostalgically mm-hmm. on our pop-up camper days to some degree. But drop us a note, let us mm-hmm. know. You know, yeah. stick up for the pop-up camper if you want
and,
to,
right? Because we see that as being a totally valid RV option.
Absolutely,
but you just have to make it. Like that choice for the right decisions and not feel like you're stuck in it instead,
right.
you know? And you know what? He also pointed out price. He said another glaring advantage of the travel trailer is the insane value you get in comparison to the pop-up and hybrid.
Yeah, like you pay 30% more, but you get so much more.
Yes, and we know that, but yeah, we
talked about
know
that on
at
the show.
The time, and it was that was important. So he says that he ended his email by saying, skip the pop-up, people.
Yes, and they have a blog as yeah. well, which they mentioned, and it was a really cool-looking blog.
Yeah, so he, so they're blogging at 52weekends.me, not .com, .me.
Okay, .me. And he has sort of a philosophy to this blog.
Yeah, I guess he started, I think they're on week, like, 39 on the blog.
Of trying to do 52 great weekends in a row.
And if you go to the About page, it's like, for a while, I realized all of a sudden, like he says, like I was
like he was wasting his
couch.
Weekends, you know, right. not just kind of like not really doing anything too exciting on the weekends. Yeah. And look, we work hard all week. We get that.
Yeah. Like sometimes you know? He's just like order pizza.
Well, yeah. Order pizza and put on a movie, mm-hmm. you know, sit around, yeah. gain some weight over the weekend.
Yeah. So he, I guess, started this project where he was like, I'm going to every weekend do something. I would call it mindful. Like really say what
an adventure.
Am I gonna do this weekend?
And they want to have an adventure every yeah. weekend. It looks mm-hmm. like they are.
And they are. And so none of their adventures so far feature the travel trailer.
Right, so now it's going to, right?
But now I guess there'll be the travel trailer up there, so we'll
yeah,
be
and
watching.
I think that we need to say too that we love our weekend RV trips mm-hmm. and it's hard to get ready for them. It is kind of hard to pull them off. At least initially you feel like, oh, yeah. do we really want to go through the work again yep. to get ready for this weekend RV trip? But we always come home elated on Sunday night and so excited that we went away for the weekend.
Yeah, and we wrote a blog post on that.
Are weekend trips worth it?
Yes, exactly.
We'll put that up in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. And we said it can be tough. There's no doubt we get things done on the weekend. So when you go away, it makes it a little challenging. You have to plan ahead. You have to, you know, think things through. The question is it worth it? And for us, and we said this in the blog post, the answer always
is yes. And for Jessica, and it's James, right?
Yes.
Jessica
mm-hmm.
and James, apparently it's really worth it too because they're doing yeah. 52 weekends in a row. Yeah. And I would say to you guys, now that you have the travel trailer, we're going to ask for an encore. So when you finish your 52 weekends, you need to do like a season two for us, all travel trailer
all
style.
All travel trailer, right,
okay?
And the travel trailer.
So we'll be back in a minute with our featured topic, RV design, what's hot and what's not. So tonight's feature topic is RV design, what's hot and what's not. We have about 10 things we want to talk about, but before we head in, we want to also kind of talk about what we're not going to talk about,
yeah.
okay,
mm-hmm.
what we're not going to focus on. Give ourselves some guidelines and limitations here.
Right. So we are not talking about large layout issues.
Not in this show.
Not in the show. And we have talked about those in the past, and we'll do more of those shows in the future.
You said nitty gritty.
Right. We've done pros and cons of a travel trailer, pros and cons of a pop-up,
eight tips for first-time buyers.
First-time buyers and RV show madness. Those four shows so far.
Bigger
I think
picture.
If you're looking for like ideas and ways to navigate the world of purchasing an RV and where you're going, those are great places to go.
This show's about some of the little things that you mm-hmm. might not think about and some of the hot new things that are out there
yeah.
that we like and some that we don't like.
Well, one of my sort of guiding principles is that it ends up being these little things that you couldn't have possibly known would matter to you until
for
you
some
spend
of these,
a lot
yeah.
of time in your travel trailer
right.
or your RV.
Now, also, we wanted to kind of set out here. We are talking about towables between, you know, say $20,000 and $50,000. And then we're talking about Class C's and Class A's between, you know, say $60,000 and $100,000. This show is not about high-end luxury Class A RV design.
Yeah, there's TV shows out there for that.
That's not our world. That's not our expertise.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. Let's talk about what's hot and what's not in RV design. Now, we love mudrooms in RVs. Okay. Tell us why.
Okay, so we talked about this on our organization episode a little bit too, is when you spend a lot of time in your RV, one of the first things you realize is that so much happens at the entrance of your RV because nobody wants shoes or rain or sand or anything tracking through your camper.
Or coats all over the floor.
Right. So this ends up being a little bit of a hot spot for campers. Now, we noticed recently that some RV companies, and I swear there's Target. I think there's marketing target groups out there that people identified this for companies.
Absolutely.
Because all of a sudden it's starting to pop up. The one camper we saw had the shoe locker right there.
Yeah.
Now others.
Which numerous brands have that shoe locker.
Are now doing something where they have like little benches when you first walk in.
Right.
There's a bench.
Well, the Jayco Whitehawks have that now, and they did that after the year we bought ours.
And we saw it in a couple of different models that we looked at the RV show. So you can sit on them, take off your shoes, put your shoes away, hang your coats up. So we noticed that in a few, but there are still so many models
out there
that
have no coat hooks, no shoe locker.
Yeah.
And it's simple, it's useful, and it's a brilliant aspect of RV design that's hot right now for us.
And what struck me as amazing was there are some companies, like the Grand Design one really stood out to me, where they're paying.
This was a Grand Design fifth wheel, higher end fifth wheel.
High end. And they're paying so much attention to design and that residential.
It was beautiful. It looked like a great product.
And they had so much cabinetry. One of the hutches, when you first walked in, looked like a china cabinet.
It's bigger than the hutch in our house.
In our kitchen. We have like a big
it was a
china
gorgeous
cabinet.
Gorgeous piece of furniture, but it was in the place where you would want a mudroom.
Yes. And it would have been so easy for them to provide that sort of feature look, but then also along the side when you walk in, like the side that you face, they could have put hooks, a bench, any of that right there, and it would have done double duty. And I'm like, why wouldn't they do that? It really shocked me.
Yeah, good. Exactly. So we love mudrooms. To us, mudrooms are hot. Now, number two, we love, or I think we love, kitchen islands.
Wow.
And this is definitely a hot trend in travel trailers and now even in hybrids.
So we have friends that have a
Rockwood Row,
and they have, so it's a hybrid. And we have always loved their open floor plan because we don't have it. They have a big space in the middle, and the
kids
can
Joe and Ashley
all
have a lot of floor space.
They can, the kids can all play with their toys on the ground. It just feels very open.
Yeah, our slide's not big enough.
No, we have no floor space in ours, and that is something that has become a little bit of an issue.
We'll address that with the next purchase.
So we walked in together. Actually, Joe and Ashley were at the RV show with us, and we walked in together
to a Rockwood Row hybrid.
And there was, this is the first time I've ever seen an island
in a hybrid.
And I was like, whoa.
And it was the kitchen island with the faucet, with the sink.
Yes, with the sink in the island. Ashley went, oh my gosh. Now, she has the open floor plan. When she saw that island, she was like, oh, I would love this. Why? There's a couple of reasons. First of all, storage. There is plenty of room
underneath
for all of your pots, pans, crock pot, blender, all those things
opening
that you bring.
Opening up a lot of room for food storage elsewhere.
Exactly. Second of all, what it does, and this is very controversial, on Facebook, I got a lot of comments about my
people
island.
People were really interested. Like, it's totally
it was,
like a hot
so
thing because people have opinions about kitchen islands and RVs.
Yeah. And this is not an issue for me because I do not have the space for an island in our model. Like, so.
But you would like one, right? I mean, you would like
a
kitchen island model. Right.
If I had a different floor plan. Because here's the thing that I realized over time. The first time I saw it, I was like, wow, that takes up the floor space. I realize that when I'm actually preparing food in the camper, when I'm chopping and everything, I end up doing that at the table. And so I'm going back and forth.
At the dining room table.
Yeah. And I'm going back and forth.
And banging into the kids along the way.
And the kids are on the floor and they're like under my feet. The island does that thing where it like creates a distinct area, a distinct cooking space.
Yeah, the kitchen island really does provide almost like a little kitchen nook for you.
So I can sit there and the stove's behind me and I can be chopping at that counter space with the sink, and I can just turn around. And
but it also lets you be more social, right? As you're cooking, isn't that part of the appeal of the kitchen island? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
In a normal home,
that your back is not always facing the cooking area.
Right. It's the same way as in your normal home, while you have an island in your kitchen, right? Because it creates that space. People can be sitting there, but then you can also be doing your cooking and socializing at the same time. So very controversial. Plenty of people are like, I do not want that mucking up my open floor plan.
Yeah, one of our Facebook followers, Ron, said, no, give me the space, right? Yeah. I don't want a kitchen island. Give me the floor space.
And then another one told me to go get an island at IKEA. But I'm like, but I don't have room for
Save
one.
Save some money and get one at IKEA.
Like, I don't have room for an island. I'm not getting an island.
Yeah, now it's worth saying that, you know, and Ashley wasn't the only one. There were a lot of people walking in and out of this floor plan, and they were like, there was a buzz on the kitchen island. And there was like a European couple there, like trying to figure out if once the slides were closed, if you could still walk back to the search, which I'm sure you could.
Yeah,
I can't see
between.
Them blocking
now,
it off.
I don't know what I will have next, but what I'm saying is if you are buying a new camper, you should think really hard about whether or not you want an island. Don't just let the visual appeal of it.
Don't get swept up in the hotness of it.
Right. Like, don't be like, oh, that looks so good. Or don't be like, the open floor plan looks so good. Think through the implications.
How are you going to use it?
How are you going to use it? Are you someone that cooks? If you don't cook in your RV, you do not need an island. You need the space.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So just really, I'm just suggesting that you consider it now as a really important decision that you make when you're
and I think you're going to see more and more of them. Okay, so the next thing that is hot in the world of RV design are residential fixtures, residential treatments. That the word residential is used what's the Latin word? Ad nauseum. It's like every fifth word out of salesman's mouths, residential. Now, going to the RV show and looking in, particularly the fifth wheels, you do see what the industry means. Like, it really, these RVs, they look like your house.
Somewhere along the line, this is what happened, Jeremy. Somewhere along the line, they realized people are saying, having an RV is great. It's like you're traveling, but you have your home. And they were like, wait a minute. Let's really make it their home.
Right.
And, and they just said, people like this, so let's go in that direction. I would like to say that it's annoying to me.
You've had a little bit enough of the residential.
I'll explain why. First of all, I keep a house, and it's hard. I have three boys.
You want to get out of that house on the weekend.
Well, no, taking care of a house is definitely something that takes a lot of work.
So you don't want a stainless steel fridge in an RV?
No. I do not want in my RV to feel the sort of maybe preciousness that you can feel about your house, right? Like, I mean, my house is pretty stripped down, too, with the boys.
Like,
I don't hang fancy things up because I'm like, I don't want to worry about things breaking.
Some of these RVs that we walked into, I see what you're saying. It's like, I would have to worry about keeping this neat and clean getting things scratched.
Not neat and clean, obviously. But I don't want to worry about like the feel of fanciness on my RV.
But do you feel that residential design is creeping into all of the RVs we're looking at, or is it more of a luxury fifth wheel thing?
It definitely is more in the fifth wheel. But what I'm saying is there were certain things that started to pop up, like the island and the hybrid, that leads you to wonder how far that's going to go. Even just the knobs on the cabinets, right? Like getting those knobs that are a little more, I don't know if they're, I wouldn't call it upscale because I don't necessarily think the quality is always there for upscale.
But they look it.
But they look
and
it.
And those, what are they called, composite floors? They're not real wood.
Yes.
But they do look beautiful to me.
They look
like expensive wood.
I hate certain things that are mimicked. Like I hate that wallpaper that's supposed to look like tile.
Like a backsplash.
Along the back. Like, things like that annoy me. I'm like, I don't want you to make it
so
look
residential's
like that.
Hot now, but do you think it's kind of played itself out?
No, I think it's going to keep going. I think people like it. I think
hot for the industry, not hot for you.
It's not for me, but I think that some people are really attracted to it. I'm kind of talking to people who are looking at RVs without maybe necessarily knowing what's going to annoy them later. What I would suggest is to take a step back and think, is the fanciness taking me in, right? Like, am I getting an idea of this trailer that may not be totally accurate? because it's like, oh, look how comfortable it is.
Residential look.
Don't get sucked in by that. Look at the features, the layout. Really look at how you're going to use it.
Okay. Now, you saw TVs can be controversial in the world of RVs. Now, for you, a hot item in the world of RV design are retractable TVs. Yeah. Now, we looked in a Jayco Precept Class A that had a retractable flat screen, and you really liked
it. So, the retractable, for people that haven't seen it, I'm sure most people have now, but they actually lower down.
It's relatively new,
down.
I think. It lowers down into a storage well and just disappears entirely.
You wouldn't even know it's there.
And it's like you press a button and it comes up. And it usually comes up and covers a window.
I have. The TV is a very personal thing. Every single family does their TV's thing differently.
And we're not judging.
I don't care what you do. But we, in our house, we only have one TV. Like
In a box downstairs.
Yeah, that's how we are. Yeah. We watch TV together. One show's on. There's not the whole thing like, oh, you go in another room and watch one show and I go another. So that's how we are in our house. So you can understand that when we go in our trailer, like the last thing we want in this small little box is multiple TVs. We don't even have multiple TVs in our house.
Yeah, I mean, we think it's a little like overboard how many TVs they're putting into these fifth wheels and travel
so
trailers.
So that's what I feel like. Again,
so
I feel
like
it's
that. So you like the idea of the TV disappearing when not in use.
Yes, because I don't even want to say it. And then I'm not saying I don't want it because we do use ours for
a cartoon
in the morning.
And if it's a rainy day at the campground, we'll do a movie. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, so that's hot, the retractable TV. Now, for me, a lot of the positioning of televisions is not hot. It's kind of annoying. Like, we really want a Class C, I think, right?
Maybe.
And a lot of the televisions, the flat screen televisions, are in the bed over the cab on like a retractable arm.
Yeah.
I don't like that because my 6-year-old boys are going to be sleeping up on that bed and that TV is right where they're going to kick it or bang into it.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's just true for 6-year-old boys. I think that that could carry up into older ages of just like kind of not paying attention,
kicking
your foot around,
who wants to go to bed with a TV in your bed with you?
Yeah.
Right? And you know, a lot of people comment on how televisions are often placed at an angle where you got to cock your head 90 degrees to watch the TV. But anyway, we love the retractable TV.
Yeah, I would love that in our next
camper. So the next hot item, and this is certainly not new this year, and we're not saying all of these things are new this year. That's not the way RV design works. Things creep up slowly and they take
and then
a
they start to appear in other models.
Exactly.
And
year,
other
year
price
by
points.
Year.
Yes.
So this is not new, but we continue to like outdoor kitchens. So outdoor kitchens are hot for us. We have an outdoor kitchen. We use it a lot. We love the idea of being able to cook outside when we want to cook outside. I also get a lot of use out of just having running water outside and a hose outside. Now, why else would you say the outdoor kitchen is hot?
I've heard some people say they don't ever – they like, oh, we've never used our outdoor
kitchen. Then I wouldn't buy a camper that had one.
So then this
you're
is
losing
something
space.
Again, I want you to think about it before you make your choice because it can be something that can look really splashy and people love it.
And you don't touch it.
But then you don't touch it. So really ask yourself, like, if you're people that cook over the campfire all the time, actually an outdoor kitchen might be awesome for you because it's right there.
Keep your condiments there. Keep a cold drink
there's
out there.
There's a refrigerator.
There.
So you're cooking right on your campfire. That's awesome. If you're somebody who doesn't like to cook a lot on their camp trips, well, then the last
you
thing
might
you
need
is
not need your first kitchen.
Two kitchens, right?
Because you are losing what would be storage space, right?
Yeah.
So we still think outdoor kitchens are hot.
I love mine.
But what is not hot are the cheap grills that most RVs come with.
I'm so
sick
of that.
We have a sort of extendable arm that comes off our rear bumper and our grill mounts on that. It's actually a great location for the grill and it kind of forms like an L, a cooking area at the back of our travel trailer. So it's a nice position for a grill. It's a nice feature.
Oh, it's perfect.
But then the grill drives you crazy.
Oh, it's a terrible grill.
And
it cooks terribly.
And RV owners almost universally say that those boxed grills that you get with the purchase of your pop-up camper or travel trailer
just don't heat very
evenly.
And I'll tell you why this annoys me. Because while these same RV companies are advertising their 4 large screen TVs – Yeah, they can't give me a good grill.
I think that's exactly the
so
point.
So you're adding these expensive technology elements.
Yeah, get rid of
elements.
A flat screen and give me a better grill.
Yes.
Okay?
It would not be that much more expensive. It would be negligible in the cost of it to pass that along to consumers. No one would even notice in the sticker price.
I agree completely.
And yet I would have a good camping cooking experience every time.
Great. So that was part one of our segment on what's hot and what's not in RV design. We'll be back in a second with part two. So let's dive right into part two of our segment on RV design, what's hot and what's not. You wanted to talk about doors. And at first I was like, doors? That's...
You're like that with everything I want
but
to talk
I was
about.
Like, I was
what?
Like, that's boring. Like, we're going to talk about doors. But then you started explaining yourself and I was like, you're right.
It matters.
So
it matters.
So explain the different types of doors we have seen.
Let's start with our
and we're talking trailer. We're talking interior doors.
Right. Okay.
On the inside of the RV.
So we do not have doors except for on our bathroom and
our
travel.
We have an ultralight. So that's, you're not going to see wooden doors.
So we have curtains, and when we were looking at our travel trailer, I would never have thought anything of it. We had a pop-up, like doors, whatever. Well,
who needs doors?
Right. Okay. So then fast forward a couple years with kids that are growing older and everything, and you realize...
You really want to close the door and have them behind it on the other side.
Yes, close the door, right? Okay.
But that's not really... Your issue is not so much with, like, shutting the door on the kids.
No.
But the quality of doors.
Exactly. So as we've seen these doors be introduced, I think, more and more across the board, I think you're seeing more doors across, like, the master suite and everything. Yeah.
If there's a bunkhouse.
Another place you're seeing doors is in the bathroom. In the shower stall, okay? Instead of having a curtain,
you'll have the accordion door.
Yes.
The dreaded RV-designed accordion door.
Accordion door on the shower. Now, does this work? It has a rail up top that it runs across and a rail on the bottom that it runs across. And then it's this sort of, like, weird fabric.
Yeah.
In the middle.
It looked like Ashley walked in and you guys walked into one of the bathrooms and you're like, this will break on the first trip.
Right.
And this is a Class C motorhome.
Yeah. Somebody's elbow would go
through that, and it would just pop a hole in the thing.
It would just rip right off of that runner, too.
Yeah, and those types of accordion doors are that in a lot of the entry-level Class C is, that's what they have for the master suite.
So
there's
somehow,
not a wood door. There's an accordion door.
Right. So somehow they're like, okay, we want to upgrade from the curtain, but you don't want the next step
which is the curtain.
Absolutely. These accordion doors, I think, are for the birds. They're so... I just think breakable and obnoxious, and I think they'd get caught, and they're loud.
And I have to say, look, with little kids, too, like, I honestly really do believe on our first trip out that the boys would break that.
Yeah,
that
and
door.
I don't even think it would be because they'd be being, like, nuts.
Rambunctious.
I
just
think
an
that
elbow
the way,
would shoot through it.
Yeah, the way kids move. So I don't like them. Now, on the other hand...
You like yourself some pocket
of
doors.
Of course I do. Who doesn't like pocket doors?
I like pocket doors.
In an RV, the fact that, you know, some of these RVs now have the pocket doors is brilliant.
Right.
It just takes away that crammed feel.
Right.
You still
your
get...
Your doors swinging open and closed in an RV can be pretty annoying.
Which is how we level our travel trailer, but...
Oh, yeah. That's how we level our trailer. We see if the bathroom door swings. Open. It's probably like the stupidest method out there for checking.
We're like, open the bathroom door.
Yeah, I do have a bubble level, but we just like open the bathroom door.
When you can open the bathroom door and see if it closes
it's
or not.
It's like we're assuming that that's perfectly level.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you like pocket doors. I like pocket doors. And we were seeing a lot of pocket doors.
And they
doors.
Have little magnets a lot of the
oh,
time.
Oh, I didn't notice little magnets.
So like it just is like a little magnetized closure and that's how
brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. Love magnets.
Mm-hmm. Or the ones that aren't pocket doors, they swing open and sort of grab at a magnet against the wall to close. And I just really like that. So look, the accordion thing.
Not hot, people.
You need to either upgrade me from a curtain to some sort of either, you know, glass shower door or pocket door. Or you have to do something else besides the accordion. The accordion's for the birds.
Okay. All right. So pocket doors are hot. accordion doors or not. All right, now we walked into a high-end Jayco Pinnacle fifth wheel, which was gorgeous, and you saw something that you thought was very hot.
Right, so I could have cared less about all of the
other luxurious things, which I thought were awesome,
that they wanted me to look
at. But there was something small that thought was hot.
I went, what's this?
A pop-up outlet.
There was a little black pop-up outlet.
Was there just one? Did you notice?
Nope, there was more than a couple.
Yep. Okay.
I saw the one on the island first, and I was like, oh, look at this. How amazing. This is an outlet. And then the more that I stood there thinking about it, I was like, oh, that's amazing. Oh,
pop-up outlet.
That's amazing.
And the thing that we were just talking about before the show was that it was in a high-end fifth wheel, mm-hmm. but it's probably not an expensive feature to install these pop-up outlets.
How can it be? So, I mean, like, look, I know I'm not an engineer, and I know I'm not an electrician.
It was smart design.
But it is smart design. This has been something that has plagued us since we had our pop-up.
And a lot of RVs have very awkwardly placed outlets, and mm-hmm. I'm sure if there was an engineer in the room, they'd explain why.
Yeah,
but
well,
from
I
a
know
consumer
why, you know,
perspective,
right.
there's a couple places where we hate to see outlets. Why don't you yeah. break it down for the listener?
So there, we have always had in the pop-up and the travel trailer outlets right in front of the cabinetry in the kitchen. So this means, I want you to think about this. Picture this. This means like our coffee maker, our crock pot. Whenever I have something on the counter of the kitchen, the plug has to come around from the back.
Drop down.
Drop down and plug in front. Now, again, I know that our kids are not always going to be small, but I feel that even as they get bigger, I feel even for adults, this is just hazardous. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. I hate having that plug sticking
out. Yeah, and
out.
Even worse for me, what's really not hot is when the outlets are below the cabinets
yeah.
and you have to plug in a coffee maker up top. You
so,
have to
right.
like run the cord
You're
up.
You're saying below the upper
Below
cabinets.
The up, thank you.
And
it's very common in a lot of the Class Cs we
And I'm referencing the Grand Design because it was a beautiful RV and they focused so much on design. And that's what that had. It had
okay.
the plug.
Right.
So I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this. I mean, you're giving me this beautiful hutch. And now I have to plug
your
my coffee
machine
pot
straight up
into the top.
It kind of kills the ambiance of the
Come
thing.
On.
Yeah, I get you on that. Okay. So, all right, our next
one. I want
one.
Pop-up outlets.
You want pop-up. I want pop-up outlets.
Give me pop-up outlets.
Now, something that's not hot in RV design, and all of the companies that make Class Cs are guilty of this. If you want a bunkhouse Class C, which is kind of what we want, we think, the stove – oh, we're not sure, though, actually. And it's partly because
no,
of this.
Yeah, I'm not – I would never buy one of these.
The stove is right smack next to the sofa.
Yeah. Like,
and there's like a little mini splash guard that I guess is supposed to keep
– hysterical.
Like the grease from splattering on the
it
couch.
It is plexiglass. There's this half – sort of half rectangular kind of plexiglass – clear.
It is a little comical. Like
against the edge of the stove next to the couch. So you're telling me that you're making hamburgers.
With a five-year-old sitting on the couch.
And it's okay because I have a little plexiglass in between
yeah.
the fire
yeah.
and the child.
So our camping buddy Joe was like, that couch is going to get food all over it,
yes.
like splatters
Talk
of
about
grease.
Splatters.
And then the hot stove is right there next to where you're sitting.
Yeah.
So I, you know, like out of all of the different types
cool.
of.
Somebody said, oh, but we can't have the stove right next to the couch. And somebody else was like, it's okay.
We'll
just
install
put in
this 5 cent piece of plexiglass.
And somebody was like, it was Friday and everybody wanted to go
I
home.
I need to say something about Class C's because I'm looking at Class C's. Now, I see a lot of innovation in fifth wheels. In toy haulers, in hybrids.
Yeah.
The Class Cs we have been looking at have looked the same
yeah.
year after year after year. I do not see innovation in Class C floor plans right now. And I know it's maybe a smaller box to be working with than
right.
a fifth wheel.
They're a little more tied
in. I'm sorry.
You think
I still
think
that somebody has to revolutionize the Class C floor plan particularly with bunks.
Right.
So get on it if you're listening and you're out there in the RV industry because I want to buy one. Okay?
This is what's going to happen after this episode.
Well, we'll buy one.
No, we're going to get emails from like the engineers out there.
Oh, because
like,
they're all
you
listening.
You all don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they all listen to the show. we know that while they're working. All right, so the next item that is definitely hot in the RV industry, but maybe we don't think of as very hot, is all the LED lighting. Now, you see LED lighting on all of these units now, and we had some issues with LED lighting, as did one of our listeners, Gene, who also said maybe a little too bright and obnoxious.
Yeah, he had emailed us even before we went to the RV shows
in general.
And he had said it, and then, wow, when we got there, we noticed it. And here's
garish colors.
Here's the thing. I have been annoyed. Many outdoor RV lights have that sort of orange glow, right? They put that orangey glass over. Yeah. And I think the reason is that it's a nod to the fact that you want to tone it down. It's outdoors.
Right.
You're camping, quote unquote. People are trying to enjoy nature.
In the RV next door.
Now, I have been annoyed when people in the RV, like next door to us, have kept their outside lights on all night. I've been like, gosh, I want it dark. I want to look up out my window and see the stars. Now,
if it's these bright garish LEDs.
This is not just a light on the side of the camper.
There are these strip lights on the awnings.
Strip lights.
Which I think is kind of cool, actually.
I don't know why you think that's cool. Bright.
But they just need to be not so bright and obnoxious.
No. If we need a light at the campground, what do?
Lantern.
We use a lantern. Or we use our headlamps.
But listen, when we first bought LED lights for our house a few years back, you would not let me install them because you thought the colors were
garish. Prison camp.
But now our living room is filled with nice, warm LED lights that look great. So I think that maybe the RV industry is a year or two away from getting the colors right on the LED lighting.
Okay. And if they do, I still don't want to be next to a campground that's lit up so bright that it takes away my enjoyment of the night sky. I just feel like that's something that we need to – like, it's that overboard thing. Oh, people like their outdoor lights, so let's put them everywhere. Come on. Let's still
enjoy outside. Let's put the lights everywhere.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Our last item that we think is very hot. Okay. Drop-down bunk bed in Class A's. Now they have as an option a drop-down bunk. You press a button and the bunk comes down over the seats in the cabin area, right? And
the driving area. Right.
Mm-hmm. When we used to look at Class A's, we used to always walk in and go, well, where do the kids sleep?
Yeah,
there's nowhere to put
us.
Kids. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of families, the Class C was the more traditional option because you have the bed over the cab. But now all of the companies, Winnebago, Jayco, Fleetwood, they all have as about an $800 to $1,000 option these drop-down bunks that make a Class A have that bed over the driving area. So we both really like those, right?
Well, I think you really like it because it allows you to bring the Class A to the table, whereas in the past I rolled my eyes and walked away.
The Class A is at the table. Class A is an option.
Yeah, well.
I have to say, you look at these Class C's for $60,000, $70,000, and then you see some Class A's for $80,000, $90,000. It does get you thinking, doesn't it?
I'm not. No, it doesn't get me thinking at all, but it does get you thinking.
It gets me thinking. So look, that was our list of what's hot and what's not in RV design. We always love to hear from our listeners. I know a lot of you have been going to the RV shows because it's RV show season, and we're going to be at the Atlantic City RV show. I don't think we mentioned that yet. I've given some seminars. Love to meet you if you come by. So drop us a note. Let us know what you think is hot and what you think is not so hot. We'll be back in a second with a great campground review of Branches of Niagara in Grand Island, New York, about 10 minutes from Niagara Falls. For tonight's campground review, we want to recommend a true family favorite of ours, Branches of Niagara in Grand Island, New York. It's just 10 minutes from Niagara Falls, and it served as a perfect, perfect base camp for our Niagara Falls adventure. They have 80 RV sites, 15 cabins, and it's situated on 70 acres around a really nice man-made lake.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really nice wooded back-end site that was very large. And there were lots of other things we loved about Branches of Niagara. What are a few of the things that you loved?
Yeah, it was a great family campground. Of course, something that we talk about a lot for us is that comfort level with our kids at the campground. And this is one of the few campgrounds we've ever stayed at where we actually spent one full day.
We did. Very intentionally, we said we want to spend one whole day just enjoying the campground.
Yeah. When we arrived, we found out that they had what they called an activity pass. And we actually recommended this on our 8 tips for campground
largely
owners.
Largely because of Branches of Niagara.
Yeah. Well, and the difference between that experience and other places where we've gone.
Right.
If you have kids at a campground and they have rentals for those bikes or they have mini golf or this or that or the other thing, you know.
Canoe and kayaks.
Yeah. You know how things can really add up in terms of kids wanting to do the activities at the campground. And when you're staying there, they're looking at the stuff right in their face all day and they want to go do it.
So it's nice to pay an all-in-one price up front.
So not only did Branches of Niagara offer an activity pass, they also offered an amazing amount of activities that went along
unlimited
with it.
Unlimited use of their canoes and kayaks on the lake.
Yeah.
Most importantly, zip lining.
They had a zip. They had two zip lines.
An adult zip line, which goes over the lake, and then which is called the Eagle zip line, and then they had one called the Hummingbird zip line, which the boys went on.
They did.
And it's meant for kids.
It was so cute.
Oh,
it's
adorable.
Across on, they have like a little island in the middle of the man-made lake.
That's
it's
right.
A huge lake. It's very big.
Did they have some tent sites out there on that island? Some tent camping out on that island?
Yeah. You know what they also did? I think they did like day picnics. Like I think that when we were there,
was nice
there was a family
there.
That did like a family reunion out there. So you went out to the little island. And that you climbed up to a perch in the tree where a very nice activity
all
coordinator.
All of the young kids, they weren't kids, all
like
of the young adult,
college age
kids working there were really nice, really
so
enthusiastic, thoughtful, and like well-trained.
And they attached the boys to the zip line, you know, in their harnesses, and the boys would go over the lake and land at the other side of
with
the
mom
lake.
Or dad waiting.
Right. Like, so one of us was at one end, the other was at the other end.
It was so nice to not be paying each time we wanted to zip line. Mm-hmm. It was just part of our package.
Right. And there was also a little craft hut. And they
adorable little craft hut.
Yes. Very cute. Like almost lodgy looking. Everything.
Everything there is lodgy. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What kind of wood would you call those cabins
and
lodges?
I don't know. Like they had the log cabin look to it. So they had like the little craft cabin. And they really did crafts that were like.
They had scheduled crafts. They were building, kids were building birdhouses while we were there. And they had a nature show.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? They had an animal
the animals,
show.
Yeah,
like a wild animal
yeah,
show. Somebody came in and the kids could kind of like learn about it.
Learn
different
about
animals.
The different animals. A
so
lot
it was pretty,
of
it was pretty
activities.
Elaborate and educational. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a well-run place.
So you could pay $20 per day per campsite to have unlimited use of all of that. Now, you go, oh, $20 a day. We have 5 people in our family. So when you think about whether
it was a good value,
it really was
a no-brainer to us
to have unlimited access to the kayaks and canoes and zip lining and crafts. Perfect. I mean, that's a good price.
Also worth mentioning, there's a nice heated pool. I thought it was a little small.
Well, it was
we
different.
There.
It was a different
it
kind
like
of pool.
It was like a circular pool.
Oh, yeah, a circular pool with a middle island in
Yeah, but it was a little crowded to me, okay? Mm-hmm. If they would build another pool, then it would be awesome.
Right.
And then they stock the lake for fishing. And we actually had the boys out fishing. And there was a lot of people fishing with their kids around the lake. So this was a lovely
campground. I think that was one of the
campground.
First times that the boys really fell in love with, like they wanted to go fishing.
Yeah, they were just kind of like, sitting and chilling and relaxing and enjoying it.
There was a little beach along the lake with a great swimming area.
So you could swim in the lake or swim in the pool. That's true too. When I say the pool was small, I'm so glad you mentioned there was a nice lake for swimming.
And
lake.
Like a little sandy beach.
And we all did swim in that lake. So this is like our highest, I would say like one of our highest recommendations for
a
campground.
We said, right, and the people that ran it were lovely. And we said when we were there, we just wish it was closer to our home. This would be the kind of campground
you
that we would
go to once a year
for
or twice a
3-day weekend, even
in the fall and then in the in the spring.
But it's far away for us. So.
It's far away for us, but we want to bring the boys back to Niagara Falls, which by the way, we love Niagara Falls, which we won't get into now, but we really did enjoy Niagara Falls, and we want to bring the boys back there when they're older, and we will be staying at Branches of Niagara.
We can't wait to get back there. Right. Now, wait, one more thing.
One more thing.
It is on a wetlands kind of an area.
There were some bugs.
Bugs. Flies.
Okay.
I think they were like, so I don't think that that's a reason to not go.
Absolutely
I went
not.
To Assateague Island. I love Assateague Island.
Yeah,
we
have a high tolerance for that. Just bring bug spray.
Right. Be prepared.
Be prepared. And that's if in the summer. I don't think you'd be contending with that in the fall as much.
I don't know their bug seasons up there, but Be prepared and you'll be fine.
It is the Great Outdoors, by the way. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a minute with our blog crush of the week, just5moreminutes.com.
So our blogger crush of the week is just5moreminutes.com. And this is a blogger who is located out in the Pacific Northwest, right? Which automatically gives her a huge advantage with her photography.
Over like an RVer from New Jersey?
Please.
Why would you say that?
You know what they say about like cloudy lighting for photos, right? And then like all of her photos have that like romantic mist in the
fairy
background.
Tale. There's a fairy tale quality to her photography. Now, she is a stunning photographer. Mm-hmm. I love her photography. Right. We'll talk more about it in a second.
Yeah. This blog focuses a lot on sort of the whole glamping idea, whether or not you like that word. This really is sort of fancy camping. She loves making things just right with wonderful dishes and accessories.
The food looks delicious. The RV is always spotlessly clean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, pillows and throws are perfectly placed. Now, you will not get pictures of the inside of our camper, generally.
And she does travel with a husband and a child, too.
Yeah. But this is just such a different world away from what our camping looks like. And I love looking at what she does because I am kind of a foodie. I mean, I love food and I do cook and I take my food very seriously. But I am amazed at what she pulls off.
Right. On a camping trip, right.
So she obviously spends a lot of time.
Well, she's thinking about it beforehand, I'm
sure.
Yeah,
but then a lot of her posts are actually organized like a food blog. Like she'll take you through the day of travel.
Well, doesn't she kind of combine the travel piece with the food they're eating along the way?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Right. She will start off like with the breakfast and then take you through the day and what they did, go to the lunch, and then end at the dinner, maybe a little snack before bed.
And
along
the
way,
give
the recipes and everything. So it really does do that work of traditional food writing, where you frame your food with a story. And this is a really good story and a beautiful story at that.
Yeah, she's also a blogger for Go RVing, and her last post just really floored us. I mean, the photography was gorgeous. So her last post on the Go RVing blog was about the northwesternmost point of the contiguous USA. The photographs were stunning. Now, you said she has the advantage of being from the Pacific Northwest, and her name's Monica Bennett.
But she also has the advantage of
the Airstream. Well, first of all, her name's Monica Bennett, by the way, okay? She also has the advantage of the Airstream, right? And I always joke that, like, you could take an Airstream and, like, pull it into the town dump and take pictures of it. They look beautiful.
Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, wow, look at that Airstream in the dump.
She could take beautiful photographs of, like, a 1982 rusted-out park model. I mean, she's got the skills here. Mm-hmm. So check out her work on GoRVing.com on their blog, and check out her own blog, just5moreminutes.com. We have loved her work and look forward to following her adventures.
Yeah, and maybe one day I'll try something out that she does, and then I'll do
one of the recipes.
I'll do one of those like Pinterest fail pieces where like I show the picture.
Is that like a thing on Pinterest?
Oh, absolutely.
To do, like, Pinterest fail pieces.
Oh yeah, you like show what it looked like on
like
Pinterest,
like the tomato soup all over like Wesley's face or something.
What it looked like in your house, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I could do that one of her recipes and what it looked like when she presented it, and then what it looks like when I presented it.
Yeah. Maybe. So she's a great talent, and we recommend her site, and we recommend you check out her blog work for Go RVing.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, RV Design, What's Hot and What's Not. Please do head on over to iTunes and give us a review if you've been listening to us. And
that would be hot.
If you're
that
enjoying
would be hot.
It.
Not giving us an iTunes review would
not
be hot. Also, join us next week as I attempt to install 5 pop-up outlets in our Jayco travel trailer.
Oh, boy.
Which unfortunately,
it's a mod.
It's unfortunately out of warranty, too, so I'll probably destroy it. What do you have for us next week?
Oh, next week I will be demonstrating the various ways that we can punch holes in accordion doors in campers.
Just punch holes right through them?
Yeah. Okay. With various materials. Well,
next week, I'll be taking down all the wood doors in our house and installing accordion doors.
Oh, boy. And then finally, I'm going to introduce my plans for a renegade RV remodel at the Atlantic City RV Show.
That sounds like fun. Please join us at the Atlantic City RV Show. Check out one of our seminars. We'll be giving about 3 seminars a day. Mm-hmm. We'll have more information for you next week. And after the seminars each day, we're going to take all of our listeners out for White House subs, the best subs in America, as featured in Jane and Michael Stern's Road Food.
And on our blog.
And on our blog. We would love to see you at AC, people.
All right, bye.